Mocha 5. It's never too late. I invited my mom. I hope that is okay. This was the text I received from Mocha 5 just a few minutes before we were scheduled to meet for our session. When I started this passion project of mine, I considered asking the Mochas to bring someone that they loved with them to these visits. A friend, a family member, a spouse. I decided against it because I know from experience that some things are so much easier to admit, discuss, and accept when you are sitting with someone in private that truly can empathize. Everybody has a different path to being brave, and let me tell you, this mama was willing to be completely vulnerable in an attempt to help others, and that, my friends, is true bravery. With that being said, this story is hard. So as you read or listen, I ask you to show grace to this mama and know that there are many, many like her that are still working their way to brave. Mocha 5's first relationship was verbally and physically abusive. There is no way to sugarcoat that. She survived that relationship and shortly after met the man who would become the father of her little girl, her first baby. When Mocha 5's little girl was 6 months old, a family member used the word autism for the first time. Mocha 5 was furious. She could not imagine why her family member would say such a thing. She was offended and said, "Don't speak that over her." For every truth that was becoming harder to ignore, Mocha 5 had an answer. Her little girl wasn't talking, so it must be the pacifier. Her little girl would howl, scream, cry, and panic when Mocha 5 tried to put blue jeans on her, but she was a baby and probably just fussy. Mocha 5 was busy trying to complete her medical support certificate so that she could find a stable job for her and her baby, so she didn't have the energy to deal with these tantrums. I mean, surely she will grow out of that, she thought. Her little baby girl also had big-time sleep issues and never developed a normal sleep schedule like other babies. She also would not fall asleep unless she was allowed to incessantly rub someone's earlobe. It was the only way. The other truth that was quickly becoming hard to ignore was that Mocha 5 now found herself in abusive relationship number 2. She remained in this relationship for 4 years. As the conversation got deep, quick, I noticed this wash over Mocha 5's face. It was that wash of guilt, shame, embarrassment, unworthiness. I know that look. I have seen it many times on all kinds of women and for all different reasons, and even in my own mirror. At this point, I asked Mocha 5 if she wanted to stop the conversation. I told her that we did not have to continue, and that if she wanted, I could put away my laptop and we could just be friends without hanging her dirty laundry for the world to see. And she said no. She was there to help others, and she was there to share because she had been blessed by the other Mochas and wanted to return the favor. How could I argue with that? So I kept typing, so fearful of where this story would lead. Mocha 5 survived abusive relationship number 2. And relationship number 3 followed shortly after. He was different than the others. Mocha 5's little girl fell in love with her new daddy fast. He was a disciplinarian, and she craved his love, attention, and approval. So imagine you are 5. You have seen and heard your own father verbally and physically abuse your mom for years. And now, lo and behold, swoops in your savior, your knight in shining armor that doesn't hit your mommy and doesn't make her cry. Your new daddy that promises you what you have been desiring all of your little short life, a wedding. Oh, he promised her a big fancy wedding where her mommy would be the queen in her big beautiful white dress. And yes, even she would get her own little white dress to look just like her mommy on that special day and be a pretty princess just like in the movies. Around this time, Mocha 5 decided to put her daughter in Little League, T-ball. And that is where she started to become perplexed at her daughter's odd behavior. She described a scene to me where her daughter was sitting in the dugout, but seemed distant and stared at everyone like she was watching a television screen. It was as if the world was happening without her, and she was just a passive observer. Meanwhile, back home, as this little girl waited for all her daddy's promises to come true, alcoholism was ravaging her home. Alcohol consumed her new, cherished daddy, and she was left scared and heartbroken. The domestic violence started again for the third time in Mocha Five's life and for the second time in her daughter's life. But he wanted help. He needed help. He checked himself into a rehabilitation program and again promised his little girl the world when he was all better. She prayed for her daddy every single night. As expected, they were all hopeful. Unfortunately, this new daddy came out of rehab worse. Angry, bitter, raging. The domestic violence continued and he was mean, just so mean. At this point in the conversation, I had to step outside my comfort zone. Well, actually, I had to leap outside my comfort zone and ask Mocha Five if her little girl had ever been abused. I knew that if that were true, I would not feel comfortable sharing this story. Mocha Five assured me that the violence was always directed at her and not to her now three children. However, the trauma of hearing and seeing it all was so real, and the damage had been done. Mocha Five, now single and determined to change the narrative of her life, moved to the Rio Grande Valley to be near her family, specifically her mom. Now entering first grade, Mocha Five decided to enroll her daughter in a small faith-based charter school. It didn't take long for the ever-dreaded daily notes to begin coming home. Mocha Five was horrified as she read reports of her daughter talking so much and so loud to the point of distracting an entire class. Reports of her crawling under tables, reports of her becoming a habitual liar and compulsive thief, like the time she stole something from a backpack and then told everyone it was a gift. Mocha Five was livid. She screamed and yelled and spanked and grounded and did all the things that she could think of to make her daughter feel the consequences of her bad behavior. When that didn't work, Mocha Five truly believed that it was the trauma and heartbreak of her past relationships that had taken a toll on this little girl, which is why she was acting out. The pediatrician referred her to a pediatric neurologist to see if an attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, or ADHD, diagnosis was appropriate. The pediatric neurologist diagnosed ADHD and recommended that stimulant medications be initiated immediately. The problem was that Mocha Five had already started feeling uncomfortable with sharing too much with her daughter's school because they seemed to really discourage testing her daughter for ADHD or any other label that would require accommodations. Her daughter's school did not have a standing special education program, and Mocha Five feared that if the school knew about her diagnosis and medications, they would ask her to leave. So she did not share the diagnosis with the school and did not agree to medications. The daily notes continued, with every single clothespin drop from green to yellow to red on the color chart and whatever other ridiculous behavior chart or behavior tracking method was used. This little girl started to fall into a deep depression. During the second grade school year, Mocha Five was called in for a parent-teacher conference. The teacher showed Mocha Five a picture that her daughter had drawn in class. It was a picture of a bunny with a knife that was killing another bunny, and red was obviously the dominant color on the page. Mocha Five was stunned, embarrassed, confused. When she got home, she sat her daughter down and asked her to explain herself. Mocha Five's daughter said this to her mommy that evening. I am always causing problems. I don't know how to stop being myself. I don't know how to stop being bad. I don't want to live anymore. I want to die. Oh, my friends, I can't even deal with this. My stomach started to churn, and even though I had never met this little girl and I didn't even know what she looked like, my heart jumped out of me for her in that moment. The words second grade kept playing on repeat in my head. What was I thinking about in second grade? Surely not suicide. We sat quietly for a few seconds and I decided to give Mocha Five an emotional break, so I turned and directed myself to her mother for a while. Her mother told me that right after this incident, they took this little girl to a psychologist who she sees weekly till this day. Mocha Five's mother said that her granddaughter has a team of psychologists that focus on managing her anger and improving her socialization skills. She said that these psychology visits helped tremendously at first, but only temporarily. She was diagnosed with executive function disorder, EFD, and began weekly sessions with an occupational therapist as well. EFD is a little more all-encompassing than ADHD. Both ADHD and EFD make it really hard to complete tasks and stay organized, but EFD includes lack of self-awareness, self-restraint, nonverbal working memory, which helps you hold things in your mind to guide your behavior, verbal working memory, which is retaining internal dialogue, regulation of emotion, self-motivation, and planning and problem-solving skills. By third grade, Mocha 5 knew she had to give in to the one thing she had been dreading, medications. She went back to the pediatric neurologist, and her daughter was prescribed two different medications for ADHD. The result was a third grade zombie. She was constantly in a daze, lost, groggy, and stubborn. With a switch to evening dosing of the medications, some of those side effects subsided. Mocha 5 kept the medications a secret and did not share this addition with the school. Her daughter continued to struggle. She was only able to process conversation in the most literal terms, which caused many misunderstandings and problems. For example, if a classmate was joking with her as they were playing at recess and said, "Oh my God, you're so dumb," she would run and weep in a corner, devastated and humiliated, and would feel overwhelmingly outcast. She was extremely territorial, jealous, and dramatic. You can imagine this made making and keeping friends and maintaining a positive relationship with her siblings almost impossible without constant conflict and tension. Her social cues were just so skewed, so her stories of what happened were always drastically different than her friends' versions. Mocha 5 persuaded her daughter to join volleyball and basketball, but the social anxiety this little girl harbored was too severe. Around this time is when her little girl started losing interest in God, faith, or church. Her grandma told me that for years they prayed for God to help her in school, and they prayed for the daddies to stop being mean, and they prayed for so many things that didn't come true. So now when her grandma or mom says, "Let's pray about it," this little girl will say, "Why? He doesn't listen to me anyway." Now in the fourth grade, everything began to escalate with constant outbursts, cursing, spitting, foaming at the mouth with rage, destroying property, and the hate talk started. "I hate you, I hate everyone," type of talk. Mocha 5 said that throughout this year, after all of the documentation and observation, the psychologist group diagnosed her little girl with autism, diagnosed at age 10. Mocha 5 told me she was embarrassed and ashamed that she had ignored or missed it all these years, but everything was in fact pointing and screaming to autism. In fact, after reading my book, Mocha 5 truly believes that her daughter may have the same unique subset of autism that my Isla has. It is called pathological demand avoidance, or PDA, and many times it gets misdiagnosed as oppositional defiance disorder, or ODD. PDA, however, is directly related to autism, whereas ODD can affect children without autism. For every oddity, she had attributed it to something else, specifically the trauma and psychological damage done by the men that had come and gone in her short life. She realized that the diagnosis changed so many things for them as a family. It explained why her typical parenting and discipline attempts fell flat so often. The psychologists also believe that the behaviors are escalating due to hormonal changes, as puberty is just around the corner. Mocha 5 said that the psychology group was hopeful for her daughter and is starting a weekly group for kids just like her to work on social skills together. I asked Mocha 5 what her daughter was like at home. Like, when she comes home every day and you ask her about her day, what's her response? Mocha 5 looked over at her mom and then back at me and said, "She gives me one-word answers. We don't talk very much. It has been that way since the beginning." I was flabbergasted. I know that's quite a word to use, I know, but it's the only word I can think of. This little girl has one safe haven, one retreat, one place with one person that truly accepts her with no judgment or expectation, in the arms of her grandmother. Mocha 5 said that because she is a single mom and works late and is trying to advance her career for her children, she is not around much. Her mom does all the pickups, all the doctor and therapy and counseling visits. Then on the weekend, Mocha 5 is so exhausted, all she has time for is to clean the house because her daughter cannot tolerate mess or clutter. So Saturdays consist of Mocha 5 cleaning the house as quickly as she can while her daughter sits on the sofa, covering her ears and moaning until the mess is put away. I selfishly wanted this to stop. I didn't want to hear anymore. My heart was breaking and I was angry. I was sad. I wanted to shut my laptop and say, thanks for sharing, and walk out. But I couldn't. This woman was making herself 100% vulnerable and pouring her heart out to me and was willing to do that for you too, all in the name of helping herself and her daughter and others. The mood was so somber and both women looked defeated. I had a feeling they came to share, but also for help, to get answers. I decided to change gears and I smiled and said, what does your daughter want to be when she grows up? Mocha Five's face changed instantly. She smirked and said, so far, she's told me a police officer, a wrestler, or a scientist. I laughed out loud and I felt so relieved that not all of the dreams had been crushed for this little girl. She still envisioned a future for herself, which was what I needed to hear. Mocha Five then said something that threw the whole session over the edge for me. She said, my daughter is an incredible learner. She makes all A's and she's an excellent reader. She's also very talented. I mean, you should see her artwork. I'll send you some. You have to see it for yourself. She also loves to dance and is on the dance team and in art and science club. People, I literally slammed my laptop shut. I put it completely away and in 5 seconds under my breath, I asked God to use the next words that came out of my mouth for only good. Feeling that the session was going to be over soon, Mocha Five's mom said quickly, I'm really worried about my daughter because she has never bonded with her daughter. How do I help her? Now, I know for those that follow me, you may be tired of me making distinctions of nice and kind, but this was the perfect example. The nice thing to do here would have been to hug them, tell them I was so sorry they were struggling, tell them I will pray for them, encourage them to never give up, and walk away. But I already told you how I feel about being nice, so instead, I was kind. This was our conversation. I said, this all stops now. Stop it right now. Girlfriend, you need to stop hating yourself and forgive yourself right now. Your daughter is in crisis and you are so ashamed and feel so guilty about your past and so broken by men, you can't even bring yourself to realize that you are the only thing your daughter needs right now. Forget the men. Forget the past. Forget it. It's over. You made crappy decisions, horrible decisions. So what? We all do. Done. Stop it. Right here, right now was the first time Mocha Five broke down. Her mom got up to get some Starbucks napkins for them both. I did not hold back. I said, it is never too late to change your life. Never. It starts today, right now. You have been so resentful and bitter towards your little girl for years because you are doing so much for her behind the scenes that she doesn't see or appreciate as she continues to misbehave. Now, all of your resentment and bitterness has reared their ugly heads and looked right back at your face and have made you feel so freaking guilty because you missed that autism was the problem all along. Guess what? Too bad. So what? Now you know the truth, and now you move forward in truth. Your little girl needs you more than she needs your mom. She needs you, your love, your attention, your approval, your warmth and caring and nurturing. Oh my God, my friend, I'm scared to ask you, but we're all being brave here. So tell me, when was the last time you told your daughter you loved her? Mocha Five said, I can't remember. The tears were really flowing all around by this point. So I said, fine. Just fine. When was the last time you told your daughter that you were proud of her? Mocha Five said, probably never. I continued, it is absolutely not enough, to think these things in your head. No one can read your mind or my mind or anyone's mind. There is power in the spoken word. There is power in healing when we hear truth from those we love and trust the most. You are going to start today. Today, every single freaking day for the rest of your life, I want you to hug your baby girl. Not a wimpy side hug, a huge, big bear hug. You are going to tell her you love her and that you are sorry for being distant and that she makes you so damn proud. No, you know what? You're going to tell her that you love her no matter what. No matter what. You're going to tell her why. I love you because you're part of me and I love you because You are you. I'm proud of you. I am proud that you are so talented and make straight A's and work hard at school. And I'm so proud that you have survived all these years without someone really understanding you. Oh, my Lord. Wait, have you talked to her about the autism diagnosis yet? Mocha 5 said, yes, I saw the video you posted on Facebook that is used to educate children her age about autism. We both thought it was so helpful, but it is really her brother and sister that don't understand, and it's so hard to explain to them how their sister can be mean but still love them so much. They are too little to understand the video. I said, holy moly, I totally know how that feels. Yes. Okay, listen, there is a book that is great for your little ones to start the conversation, and it's titled All My Stripes. Autism is a very difficult thing to explain to many kids, especially when they are young, but you can start by setting the example for them of how to be patient and kind to your daughter. Also, continue to use online resources to your advantage. There are hundreds of YouTube channels and videos run by kids that have autism. They talk about their challenges and what makes them unique, and your daughter needs this desperately. She needs to feel like she belongs and that she's not alone. And most importantly, that she is not bad. Who she is not wrong. She is good and created with so much love. Oh my God, so much love. Speaking of God, my friend, you need to teach your little girl to pray differently so that she is not convinced that God is just another person who will let her down in her life. I learned a long time ago that teaching kids to pray is tricky. The best example I can think of is my little Junebug. When we first started doing bedtime prayers together, she would always ask me to pray that she wouldn't have bad dreams. So the first night that she did have a bad dream, she was mad and sad. Why didn't God listen to me? She said. Why did he give me a bad dream when we prayed just like we were supposed to? And I told her this. Hey, June, remember in school that you learned about your brain? Well, your brain is so cool, and God made it so that it learns and sees and hears and remembers things that you see and feel and taste and hear all day long. So sometimes our brain remembers some things that are a little scary while we sleep, and that's okay because that happens to everyone. So tonight, let's pray for God to help our brain rest and think more about ice cream and playdates. June would giggle, and it was over. Done. I didn't lie to her. I didn't shatter her faith. I didn't tell her to pray harder. I didn't make God the bad guy. So teach your daughter to pray for God to help her use the tools that she's been given to have better days, instead of praying for God to make her behave or make her not be bad. Teach her to pray for God to help her remember all the tools and tricks she learned during her psychology visits to control her anger and be kind to others. God, help me remember and use my tools for self-control, not God, help me not be bad. Do you see the difference? Mocha 5 said, yes, it's awesome, yes. Then the grandma, Mocha 5's mother, said, I think you are an angel. I said, oh no, please take that back. I laughed out loud and quickly realized I was almost shouting and practically giving everyone at Starbucks a sermon, whether they wanted it or not. I am so far, oh my gosh, so very far from an angel. I have just learned these lessons before you. I have a different story, but such a similar one. I have gone through all the nasty phases of resenting a child that is so innocent, then living with the guilt of feeling resentful. I have gone through the brutal phase of bitterness and feeling sorry for myself, and then living with shame and my selfishness. I have prayed the wrong way and tested God, and I have prayed the right way and trusted God. I have been stern and strict and loving and kind. I just know what works because, like you, I have felt it all. The only difference between me and you is that I troubleshooted a little more. Mocha 5 said, okay, so I can do that. I can tell her that I love her and that I'm proud of her, but she probably won't care. She will go to her room and not talk to me. We have never had a strong relationship, so how can I just expect her to open up now? I said, you can't. Just like all of this damage happened over time, so will the healing. So will the relationship building. You mentioned that she loves art and is talented. Does she have an area at home where she can create? Mocha 5 said, she has a small art box. So I said, get that girl an easel, paints, colors, ask for her input. Ask her for a list of things that you can get for her to create her own art corner. Tell her to make a video on her iPad of her drawing or painting something, and then you can watch it together. It will start slow. Maybe she won't want to watch it with you at first, which is fine. You will still watch it alone and tell her how awesome she is and how proud she makes you. You will stand outside her closed bedroom door and profess your love to her every night like a broken-hearted teenager that has been dumped. Tell her that she can keep a video diary for you and talk into her phone or the phone camera and tell about her day and what happened and about her friends and times when she felt that she was bad or good. So if she still doesn't want to talk to you, you will have the video to listen to or watch. You need to start getting creative, my friend. Get creative, and no idea is a dumb idea. You need to win your daughter back now. The grandma said, "Oh my God, thank you so much. We needed this so much, and I'm so glad I came, and I just, oh my God. So can we do this weekly?" I said, "Girl, I wish. Unfortunately, God has not opened that door yet to making this a full-time job that pays." We all laughed. Okay, so time for action. Words are nice, but action is kind. Get out something to write with. There are three things you're going to do. Tell me the first one. Mocha 5 said, "Tell my daughter I love her every day." "Yes," I said, "yes, I love you no matter what, and I am proud of you. You make me proud." "Okay, what else?" Mocha 5, "Something about YouTube?" I said, "Yes. Secondly, you need to find a way to make her feel special and unique because of her autism by showing her kids like her. So you search first. Look for YouTube channels or videos with children her age that have autism, but present as close as possible to the way she does. This will help her start to feel accepted and like she belongs. Third, use art and technology to build your relationship and encourage communication. Make her an art corner. Give her a place to display her art in your home. Those Saturdays when you're cleaning, art time. She will know those hours are for her to make something beautiful, and when you're done cleaning, she will have a clean space to enjoy the finished product." I then turned to her mom, the grandma, and I said, "You, ma'am, you are the rock. You are the hero, and you are the warrior. Continue being the example for your daughter of true acceptance. Don't be sad about their broken relationship. Instead, be hopeful and encouraging, and help her now be creative in finding ways to bond. Remind her of these three things, and don't let her give up." I turned back to Mocha 5 and said, "Hey, and you? There is nothing wrong with you. You are worthy. Did you hear what I said? You are worthy. You are worthy of forgiveness and compassion and love and happiness. You have worked your ass off for jobs and positions to advance yourself for your children alone with three kiddos as a single mama, and that makes you strong, not weak. But now you know the balance is delicate. Nothing is worth losing your children for. No one and nothing. You are smart at work. You are creative at work. You find ways to excel at work. All you have to do is transfer that to your home. Be a smart mama. Be a creative mama. Excel at being a mom. You have already proved you are more than capable." We all hugged. We all cried. We said goodbye. I drove home with an overwhelming feeling that we all need to learn to extend more grace to each other, and more importantly, to ourselves. Stop judging. Extend grace. Stop being nice and passive. Please, let's just be kind to each other and ourselves today. Please refer back to the blog if you'd like to see some of Mocha 5's little girl's artwork and to leave a comment.